Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
And good morning. Good grief. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Windy as it is, maybe you will, maybe you won't blow away. Perhaps we can think about things as we clean up the yard and get ready for the warmer temperatures ahead of us here. Yes, indeed. We just passed the first day of spring just a few days ago, so it's up and running. We're off and going to summer. Soon is the next season. Phone lines for you. A one-hour show. We've got Cardinal baseball coming up here in an hour, just a little bit at noon today here on KMOX. So bring it on. Bring it in. Let's get going. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Toll free 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I've been doing this show for quite a while. I enjoy it. It's something that keeps me sharp in terms of staying on top of developing technologies in the construction industry. This show is everything about your home, your office, your building, the safety, security, the health of those buildings, how that supports or detracts from that for us, because typically you go home and you try to recreate or recreate yourself. So where do you get that island of away? Well, I tend to like that in terms of my home, and that's where I like to put the things around me that support my health, support my comfort. And frankly, in my life now, luxury has taken on a very interesting meaning. It means when I turn on the kitchen faucet, it works like it's supposed to. When I press the button for the sprayer works like it's supposed to. When I use the disposal, it drains and operates correctly. All those little things we take for granted every day. When you take that away, you realize just what it is, how important it is. For example, trash, rubbish service. You think having just the trash man coming and taking away the trash cans, the lawn waste, the recycling, you know, if you don't think that's a luxury, try doing without it for about a week or two. Boy, howdy, then you get going. So anyway, little things like that, as we come out of winter and go into spring and then summer, and I promise you, this is a little odd, I may report that we have some pretty chilly temperatures here. It is not yet time to disconnect your garden hoses. Make sure those are off the hose. And now it's time to wash off the deck, the patio, the barbecue grill, the car, the lawnmower, all that stuff we do getting ready for the coming spring and lawn season. But keep in mind, disconnect those garden hoses every time, because our temperatures are still dipping to below freezing at night, and that's a real problematic issue. So make sure you disconnect those garden hoses. As I mentioned, I'm Scott Mosby. I own Mosby Building Arts. We were founded in 1947 by my father. We design, build, and construct pretty much everything else, everything that we contract for at Mosby Building Arts. We do bathrooms, we do full custom, I mean, tear out everything, pull out walls, you know, open up and vault ceiling bathrooms. And then we also do something called a right bath, which is pretty much a real quick makeover. We take it all the way down to the drywall. It's a full bath remodel, but it has real bathtubs, and, you know, it's not plastic liners and layovers and skins like that. It's a real bath remodel. It's called the right bath. We have a right kitchen like that. Anyway, on and on and on. Suffice it to say that we have a bunch of really talented people that I am truly blessed to work with that keep me sharp on this show. So we'll see how that goes. Let's get started here with the phones, because we've got such a short show here with Cards and the Marlins baseball game happening here in about an hour. Let's go to my friend Marvin. Hey, Marvin, good morning. Oh, welcome. How can I help you there on KMOX?
How you doing, Scott?
Fantabulous, my friend. How about you?
Good. I'm fine. My question today is, I am preparing to build a floor over top of an existing garage floor.
Okay.
So first question is, what kind of concrete prep on the existing floor? Would you do anything on the existing floor to mitigate moisture or issues? And then I have a framing question after that.
Well, frankly, how far up are you coming with that floor?
It is probably going to be 3 to 6 inches. The floor has sunk, whatever. It's built a 60s house, sunk, yeah. Different things. It's not, if I was reusing it, I'd tear it out.
Well, that's just it. It very seldom is what you're asking to do performed, because it's easier to tear out the concrete, pour it all in. It avoids all the framing and the issues. Why are you raising the floor? What objective are you serving?
Oh, we're infilling the garage to use for laundry room space and an office space and building a separate garage.
Okay. How much up are you coming for, up the floor?
The exists probably
inches or feet.
No, the existing house has 2x8 floor joists with a double 1/2 inch floor. So you got, so whatever that equals, it's probably probably 11 inches of floor structure in the existing house. So the garage is a step below if that makes sense.
Yeah, by code. So you're planning to frame up the floor over that garage? Okay, number one, yes, moisture barrier for sure. Lay that over the existing concrete or a coating that does that, like a foundation repair or a foundation waterproof coating. Your garage floor, the concrete is sloped. Do not assume it's flat, because your floor of your house, it'll slope maybe 2 inches from back to front for draining of, water from the cars. I would put sleepers, I would put sleepers on the floor, but I would truss build this structure if I had to, because the concrete floor may continue to move and most probably will, because it's just put on granular fill. That fill does settle, it does move, it does fall. So I would put in piers, like maybe one in the center of the garage, and then have those floor joists and then a beam probably down the center of the garage, and then span that with floor joists similar to the existing, your 2x8s or 10s, whatever you have.
Well, it is only a one car garage, so I think I can actually span from basement foundation wall to the exterior garage wall. So it's
perfect.
It's not a can do that without even resting, I'm thinking, on the garage floor.
Yeah, good. I'm with you there. Total agreement.
Now, my next question would be, typically, with that kind of span, you would probably at least have to typically use 2x10s on that kind of span. If I use 2x8s and I doubled them, would that accomplish the same thing?
Now you're getting into specifics, because you're coming down to inches. And 20 years ago, I can answer that question for you. Now the Lumbermen's Association makes lumber a 16th or a 32nd skinnier when it suits their manufacturing purposes, which changes the span tables, which changes the answer to that question. So when the Lumbermen's Association decides that their 2x10s are not as thick as they were last year, all the span tables are off. I can tell you that a 2x10 generally will span somewhere 14, 15 feet. 2x10s would be my choice if I could get away with it.
Right,
2x8s, yes, when you double them up, now you're into a actual civil engineer, structural engineer load calculation. The answer is generally yes, it works, but you aren't doubling it. So, be careful. Now you're asking a specific question, and you need, 11 feet, 4 inches, and you need to know what that span is. But I can tell you a 2x10 single would be just fine. 16 inches on center.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. So, you answered my question. My first question was the first thing you do, which is how do you treat the floor? So
yeah. You bet.
And you work up from there. All right. Good deal.
All right. Take care then.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Marvin, take care. Home improvements. Scott Mosby, KMOX, are off and running on raising a floor and converting a garage to habitable space. This is the Home Improvement Show, and I will be right back after this. Oh, yeah, we are back together. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Phone lines are wide open. Bring them on. Vote early, vote often. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. Bring it on. I'm sitting in this studio by myself. It's a little bit windy outside, you know. A little lonely, you know, stop by, give me a call. Any questions, just come on in and, you know, have a seat here in the classroom of the KMOX studio. We have lots of things that happen in the spring and the fall. One which is kind of interesting, and I alluded and discussed it a little bit last week on the KMOX Home Improvement Show, and it is a sweating or a wet garage floor. Porches, front porch stoops, concrete slabs can do this as well, although outdoors they tend to get direct sunlight, whereas a garage floor with the door closed, the garage floor could remain cold long into the spring, March and April, and cold meaning even 50 degrees or 55 degrees. So I'm not talking about freezing soil, but the dirt inside your garage underneath the garage floor can stay pretty chilly because it's got foundation all the way around, so it's isolated from what's around it. And then when your garage door opens and the humidity that comes in from maybe a wet day or a humid day, warm, beautiful, could be, you know, we had that last Saturday. It was just a fabulous weekend. That moist air hits that cold concrete and the entire garage floor can be wet. I mean, droplet wet, slippery wet, you know, hazardous wet. So just be aware those situations do exist this time of year. In the fall, it is not so. It is only in the spring because we go through the big winter. Everything gets cold, stays pretty cold, slowly warms up as our high temperatures during the day, the sunshine, you know, the days get longer for sunshine hitting the outdoor surfaces, that sort of thing. So just be aware that you can really have a wet, slippery, slick garage floor. And when you open that door to go out and get in the car, everything will be fine. And then you pull out, maybe you pull a car out and you go out and walk around the house or visit with a neighbor or whatever it is, take the trash cans to the curb, all the things that we normally do. Then you come back and all of a sudden your floor is wet. Well, what's that about? Well, that's the condensation. So that manifests itself in lots of things throughout the home that you live in now. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. I want to elaborate a little bit on Marvin's first call during the show here. We got started, and he is changing a garage apparently to a finished interior space, basically a room addition. The foundation is already there. The roof is already there. Most of the walls are already there. And he's got this concrete floor underneath it. Well, by code, by building code, by fire code specifically, the garage floor must be 4 inches or more below the finished floor height of the house. And that is because gasoline fumes are heavier than air. So if you have gasoline that spills in the garage or fumes that are in the garage, they pool and puddle just like water. And that's why every garage has a 4-inch or greater step when you come into the house. You step up. That is so that those fumes don't float right inside the house and become explosive inside the habitable part of the home. So, you know, you can burn the garage down, but that's why we have all these firewalls and drywall fire code on the walls and the ceilings. And you hear about all that when the house sells or when you buy a house, you need a demising wall for fire separation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why it's a fire code safety issue. Well, then you've got this step. Some things that I've encountered over the years are when we have accessibility issues, we still have to have a garage lower than the house. Well, how do you deal with that? You know, wheelchairs, walkers don't go down steps very well. Well, you can still put a ramp. So having a slope or a ramp that still meets that 4-inch incline is a great thing. it still meets the code. It still makes the space accessible. Garage needs to be a little larger to accommodate the space width and slope and run, you know, the distance that that ramp has to be for safety, for self-operation, because, you know, the whole idea of accessibility is self-motoring. You're in a wheelchair, you still need to go to the car. You get in the car, you have the contraptions that get you in and out. You drive to the grocery store, do what you're going to do, come home. So the idea of independence is, as much as we can create that with our construction and design, that's a big thing. Well, let's go to our phones here and talk to my buddy, John. Hey, John, good morning. Welcome to Cam Wex. How can I help you this fine morning?
Well, hey, Scott, good morning. I got a couple questions.
All right.
When people put a new floor down and then they put a nice, ceramic tile over that floor,
uh-huh.
It raises the floor up so that it increases the step height.
Yes.
Like from the kitchen down into the garage.
Yes.
Is there a code that says what that height, minimum or maximum height is for that step?
There's a guideline for the minimum and a very hard maximum. And the basic tenet, this is a Scott. This is where I jump up on the stump and really go at it. But the point being that typically a minimum step needs to be about 5 to 5.5 inches for cadence for walking up a stair. My dad taught me a rule 17. Rule 17 was an old carpentry thing that the combination of the rise and the run, or how tall the step is and how big the tread is, has to be 17 inches or more for the right cadence for you and I just kind of walk up the steps, normal adult human being and all that. But typically speaking, the maximum changes with building codes because it's deeply negotiated at 100 levels in our industry just to come up with this number. I'm going to give you a number. The ideal maximum rise is about 8.5, 8 5/8. They can go up to 8 3/4 in some situations. The point being that when you get it taller than that, some of our less mobile partners have now you're kind of giving it that last extra, boy, that's a tall step. And when you walk a tall set of steps, you know it because it's different. So ideally, if you're around 8 inches to 8.5 inches, you're in a good place.
Well, going up doesn't seem to be the problem, but boy, I'll tell you, stepping out and down.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a real thrill.
Yeah. How far down is it?
Okay. Second question.
Yep.
Our house built 74-ish. Mm-hmm. What's the life expectancy of the concrete floor in the basement?
Oh, forever.
It is. What if it starts cracking?
I guarantee it. It's already cracked. There's only a couple of warranties with concrete. Number one, it will crack, and number two, nobody will steal it.
Right.
But it will. I mean, it just shrinks. I mean, like you and I get wrinkles, concrete cracks and shrinks. The question is, does it offset and move after it cranks, after it cracks? Because that's what the whole idea of steel reinforcing kind of is in a residential basement floor like that, or a garage floor. It's more or less to keep the concrete even and aligned after it does its shrinkage stuff.
Now, was that a code that they had to put wire or a rod in the concrete?
Depends on when and where. 1974, maybe not. Ideally, wire fabric is not put into a basement floor because it's never going to get a car or stress or structure on it or something like that. I will tell you that most custom-made built homes, there will be welded wire fabric or steel mesh in it. Unlikely there's rebar. But mostly when a basement floor goes down like that, it's pretty much just to keep it even and not misaligned if it should try to move.
All right, now if you get a crack and it gets, you know, pencil, you know, wide, what do you fill that with? Can you use like this self-leveling caulk or stuff like that?
I would use normal caulk on a basement floor because here's the thing. When you have, here's the math on concrete. So I've got a 1,000 square foot house, maybe 5,000 square foot basement. That is a boatload of concrete. Let's say we've got just round numbers, 100 cubic yards of concrete. That's a lot of concrete. Well, in 100 cubic yards of concrete, there's almost 80 cubic yards of water, there's a bunch of water in there. So we're talking about thousands and thousands of gallons of water, even in a small basement. And when you pour the concrete, within the first 48 hours, 90% of that water disappears. Well, that's volume. When that much volume goes away, something's going to shrink. So that's why when you're driving in a car and the highway contractor's pouring a new bridge and, you know, it's a beautiful day, but there's water pouring off the bridge, they're trying to slow down how fast that concrete cures because one of the byproducts of this chemical process is heat. Heat then makes it evaporate faster. Then the faster it evaporates, the more the concrete shrinks, the more it shrinks, the more it cracks, yada, yada, yada. My point being is in a basement foundation, you will get cracks. You will get separations, you will get gaps, and after that, it's very seldom a structural issue, almost always prudent to do it for a radon gas mitigation. So you're sealing up the baggie of your basement with caulk. Don't worry about the self-leveling stuff and all of that. Usually the cracks are too small for that. Just go ahead and get a really good, I like a urethane type caulk. It's a little higher quality than your latex and your modified latex. Silicone's overkill, and it doesn't stick to concrete too well. So kind of a urethane, and then just gun caulk it right in there and strike it off even. If it needs to be good looking, then I would put a strip of masking tape over the face of that and then break the tape so that when you're going to caulk, if you're going to make a mess out of it, you're going to make a mess on the tape. And as soon as you get finished leveling that caulk on the floor, you zip that masking tape off right away and put it right in the trash can. Did you follow all that, John? It was a kind of a mouthful.
No, I did. And that was very, very well presented. Our basement is not finished. Mm-hmm. I often wonder what happens to people who put down carpet or put down tile. And I guess carpet, it wouldn't matter so much, but tile, if you get cracks, that's got to affect the tile, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, those cracks typically are really not a big deal. Once they crack and the concrete shrinks, your concrete is pretty stable, believe it or not. So unless you have movement going on or a lot of water coming in and out of that basement, those cracks are pretty easy to manage. They typically get filled with a filler material and then a mesh, just like a big fiber mesh drywall tape, only they can be 8 and 12 inches wide. And then it gets pretty much drywall finished with a floor leveling type compound that spans that crack and doesn't transfer that load directly to the tile and crack the tile. But in some situations, when there's a live movement on some of that stuff, we might manipulate the tile to line up with that crack and then just understand that that one grout joint is probably going to break all the time, or it gets caulked in with a pliable, you know, caulk type materials that moves when it moves.
I see. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate having the time to just chat with you, you know.
Yeah.
Our house is okay, but I got a daughter who put a new floor in their house. They must have put a 3-inch floor on that sucker, and stepping out into their garage is like taking on a thrill ride.
You know, I know what you mean because, well, think of it. And this is that Rule 17, and it was one of the first things I learned with my father starting out as a carpenter, that you and I are incredibly well trained. By the time we're 10 years old, we know what to expect out of a set of steps. And when we encounter a step that's different, like your daughter's house, it truly is a wake-up call. Of, you know, it's like sitting down and somebody pulls the chair out from underneath you. When you run into a step either too soon or too late, you feel like you're either slammed into a wall or fell off a cliff. So I know exactly what you're talking about. This is a very high level, always negotiated, ongoing discussion in our industry of what is a safe step. Because, and I'll tell you why, because if you make the steps too short, then you need more of them. If you need more of them, then your stairway coming from the second floor to the first floor in a residence, the stair gets longer. As the stair gets longer, now the house may need to get wider, or the stairs, you know, so it really, really, really affects the cost of housing and how design, you know, manifests. So this is a big deal. You'd be surprised how many, not days, weeks, in years, but, you know, decades of man time get spent negotiating out stair geometry.
Well, I know you frequently talk about grips in the shower and in the bathtub and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And as you get older, but boy, I'll tell you what, that stepping down out of that kitchen into the garage,
yeah,
you need a handhold there.
John, you are exactly right, because the stair is not the error. Maybe it's different, but having a grab bar or a handrail, you're right on it. I couldn't agree with you more. That is the answer. And you know, for your daughter, well, Dad, I don't need that. So, yeah, but honey, I do. oh, okay, maybe.
I had thought about putting down some Gorilla Glue and some, like, 1-inch concrete blocks or something to just raise that step up a little. I don't know.
Well, it can be done. It can be done, and you wouldn't be the first or the last, but bisect it. So if you've got a full 12-inch rise, you have 2 6-inch steps. You can't have one at 5 and one at 7. That's when you really get in trouble. That's a big problem.
Right. All right. Well, listen, thanks an awful lot. Have a great weekend.
Right on, John. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Going to take a short pause here on University of KMOX. Stay tuned. Cards and the Marlins coming down, coming up here in about 20 minutes. So stay tuned right here on KMOX. By the way, did you catch that it was 72 degrees in Jupiter, Florida? Well, it's not 72 here today. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. I'll be right back.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, St. Louis, we're heading outdoors. Sooner or later, we're going outdoors, so get ready. And what I mean by that is all the things that come for preparation, maintenance. For those of you, like me, tore up all your trash cans with leaf collection and all that last year, go take a look, check those trash cans out, maybe replace those ones, whether, you know, you want to or not. You know, I wind up with my A list of trash cans for, you know, yard waste. And then I have my B list, which I pull out if I need. And then my C list is, holy cow, when the, you know, everything falls. So anyway, little things like trash can, how to move the trash cans, whether you do wheels, get your lawn equipment ready to roll, get it to the service place. If you're going to get it unwinterized or dewinterized at the maintenance, make sure that gets going. Get online with your irrigation guy, your pool, your fountain, all those things. Maybe now is not the time to turn them on and get them all set up, but by golly, get on the calendar, because when it rains, it pours, if you will. So, I mean, when it's time. Likewise, silly things, air conditioner. I know we may be a little early, but last weekend we were in the 70s. So, I mean, keep in mind, we do have warm temperatures. You may indeed need to get your AC serviced. And FYI, there is a shortage of refrigerant. There is a shortage of technicians. There is a shortage of time slots available to come fix your AC. Make sure you check that stuff this year, more so even than last year, because there's just, it takes so much longer to get anything accomplished. Even going to the grocery stores, if you've seen how many shelves are empty, you know, we're back at it again with the COVID dance. So, you know, it just is what it is. So make sure you get started with getting on the serviceman's schedule for getting your air conditioner checked. Make sure you turn on the AC. Even a day like today, all you need is some cold air coming out. So, you know, clean your outdoor condenser. Make sure all the dirt and the stuff is away and no weeds are growing in and around. You want a 2-foot area all the way around that air conditioning outdoor condenser. Make sure the air can move. You can turn that on. You can set your thermostat to cool inside. All you want to do is run it for about 2 to 5 minutes and make sure you're getting cold air coming out of the register. If not, get online now, pronto, right away for a service call, because if you need new equipment, wow, that's an even bigger issue, because we have a shortage of equipment. So if your AC went kaput or your furnace went kaput, although there are maybe 50 models available in the marketplace, there are only about 5 of them that are in stock somewhere. And therefore, your choice of which unit you want, it's better to find out now that you need something and you start talking about it than when you need AC to run tonight because all your family's coming to dinner. So just be aware, things just take a little bit longer than they normally would. Check your screens, check your windows, make sure the doors open clearly, your deadbolts latch and secure, adjust your doors. It's time now because, you know, the winter came and it moved things around, so your doors have been kind of pushed up on the side, and they kind of, you know, they just don't quite fit, just like garage doors, entry doors, especially that garage man door that you use every day. So get your AC online, your garage door serviced, any of that stuff. And if you're handy like me, you know, make your list. And frankly, I have a winter, a fall list and a spring list, things that need to be dealt with, you know, drag the hoses out, you know, get out the lawn ornaments and the lawn jewelry, stuff like that. Anyway, so keep that in mind. Likewise, simple things like as we go into this part of the year, we're going to open our windows a little bit more. It's going to be a little more pollen laden. So for you folks with allergies, when we open the windows, the screens need to be in good operation. They do need to seal, and they do need to lock, and they do need to unlock and operate, because if you're going to escape the house, you know, jump out and get out in a fire or something like that, you're likely going out a window or a door. So make sure those are in operation. Doorknobs, styles, finishes, make sure they operate freely, lubricate them, adjust them, all that sort of stuff. Keep that in mind. And change your furnace filters, little simple things that we know we're supposed to do, but maybe not. Those of you that have water filters, reverse osmosis, RO water filters, things like that, or you might have a steam oven, make sure you're cleaning those screens, cleaning those filters, even dishwashers around the house. You know, just kind of pull that bottom rack out on the dishwasher, take a look down there in the drain, see if there's anything plugging that. Make sure you're just inspect what you expect. If you think everything is working fine, just give it a look-see, make sure that it is. Because again, the time that it fails is when you're entertaining and you really, really need it. Kind of like Murphy's Law, you know, whatever can go wrong will go wrong only at the time that you really need it. So keep that in mind. Also, little things like your car tires, tire pressures, when the temperature changes from winter to spring to summer. And I know a lot of our automobiles have, you know, these tire gauges and readouts on the dashboard, but fill your tires. Get them filled to the proper amount. That's good for mileage, good for tire wear, good for safety. And if you like driving, it's good for fun as well. Hey, to all you folks down in Jupiter, Florida, hanging out in the West Palm area and that area with the Cardinals, bring home a winner. It's up to you, Cards fans, to make sure that we whoop up on the Marlins today. All of you down there know who you are, and there are a bunch of you down there. So just a special hello to you all, bring it in. We do need a winner. Go Cards. Let's see how it goes. We almost averted missing a baseball season. Holy cow. You know, with all the stuff we've got going on here with this pandemic and the COVID and now a war in the Ukraine. Holy, we need something simple like, you know, a ball and a strike and a home run or a base hit. So as it is. Anyway, folks, I'll be back on next week. We've got a 2-hour show coming up next week. Thank you to Rich Orris, who steps in for me at various times when I'm out and away. I do have some family weddings and things to attend over the next, 5-6 months. I'll do a little bit more traveling than I was before, just like likely you and as well. And, you know, more of my friends have COVID now than did last week. So we lift all the mask mandates. mandates, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we have that spike. So now we are reaching herd immunity as it is. Anyway, stay tuned. More coming up. We've got Cards versus the Marlins here on University of KMOX. Stay tuned. News, weather, and sports coming up next on KMOX.